Okay, fun seekers, are you ready to discuss a very important and very misunderstood aspect of mutual funds? Fees, yes. Share classes and annual operating expenses and sales commissions. Oh, my. So let's get started on slide number 21. And, folks, I want you to seriously study this. Why? Because of a few reasons, one of which is that it's important for any investor to understand it. And the second reason is most don't. So, again, you're going to be the investment guru, right, for your friends and family and coworkers. And so when you can explain it to them, oh, boy, are you going to look really, really smart. And then they're going to say, where did you learn this? And what are you going to, right. You tell them, Business 123, Introduction to Investments. Oh, boy. So let's get started on slide 21. Every mutual fund has what is called annual operating expenses, And there are essentially three of them, although there might be an extra one, which we'll take a look at in a moment. But these are the big three. The management fees, the 12B1 fees, what a dumb name is that, and then the accounting and other expenses. The management fees are the monies that are paid to the portfolio managers, the research analysts. These are the people in the top hats, remember them? And they're the most important people, right? Because they are the ones who are deciding what to invest in, what to not invest in. And that averages anywhere from 25 cents for every $100, 0.25%, to 2%, $2 for every $100. It's getting lower. Fees are dropping. So that's a good thing, although if you are the management company and you're doing it correctly, unless you're doing an index fund, it's not cheap. It is not inexpensive to run a good mutual fund because you have to have now a global organization that is knocking on doors all around the world, speaking many different languages. It's an expensive proposition, if they do it right, in my humble opinion. The 12B1 fees, now what a dumb name. Yeah, well, you see, this is part of the Investment Company Act of 1940. Mutual funds must tell you, how much money they are using to defray the advertising, servicing, and distribution costs of a fund. It's got to be there in the prospectuses that nobody reads and many people don't understand. Does Coca-Cola have to tell you how much you're spending on maintenance and advertising and servicing and distribution? Does your bank? Does your life insurance? No, but the mutual fund companies have to do it. So they do it in a way that makes sure that most people will never understand it. And then, but you will. And then the accounting and other expenses. The keeping the lights on and the rent and the janitors and the website and all the stuff they have to do for regulations. So those are the other expenses. Now, some mutual funds have what's called a trustee fee. These are mutual funds that are usually in a simple IRA or a traditional IRA, Roth IRA, 401ks, 403bs, educational savings accounts, health savings accounts. Because when your investment is in one of these, what the IRS calls tax-qualified accounts, you don't actually hold on to the money. A trustee holds on to the money for you. Now, don't worry, you're not going to run off with it. It's often a bank or a trust company that may do this for many mutual funds. They might not just do it for the one mutual fund company. And so they usually charge anywhere from $10 to $30 a year. And that's a yearly fee that doesn't go to the managers or to the websites or anything like that. It's for the trustee to make sure that they are doing what the IRS says they need to do, and you're doing what the IRS says you need to do to make sure that your account is still tax qualified. Cool? Okay. Now, those are the annual operating expenses. Also involved in the annual operating expenses, but not disclosed in the prospectus, are the trading costs. So how does an investor know how much the trading costs are? Well, you can actually ask the mutual fund company. Or what I do is look at the annual turnover. The annual turnover. This is something I'm going to ask you to look up because it's not hard to find. And it's a very important number in my humble opinion. It's a measure of how much trading the mutual fund does. It's measured in percentage of the amount of portfolio turns over each year. Does that make sense? If it's 100% turnover, that means within 1 year they will have bought and sold everything in the mutual fund. All the investments will have been bought and sold if it's 100%. If it's 50%, then half. If it's 200%, then twice the amount. In general, the higher the turnover, the higher the trading costs. So if you are looking for a lower cost fund, you want somebody who's trading maybe 20, 25, 30%. In the world of stocks and bonds, that is, in my humble opinion. I like companies that are holding their stocks for 3, 4, 5 years on average. You see, if you have 100% turnover, that means you're only holding the stock for a year. On average, I mean, some you're holding on longer and some you're holding on a lot less. If you have a 50% turnover, that's 2 years. If you have a 20% turnover, that's 5 years. And why do we like that 20, 25, 30%? Well, it'll become more apparent as we go along when we start studying stocks, especially when we get to Chapter 6 on valuation. But you have to be careful. You might look at this mutual fund and see that there's a 400% turnover or a 300% turnover. And you say, what's going on here? Well, it's a money market. And how long do money market funds hold on to their corporate paper and treasury bills? For 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. Right, obviously, exactly. If it's a money market fund, the fact that your investments only exists for, you know, short periods of time dictates that you're going to have a huge turnover. So you have to be careful. You have to make sure you're looking at apples to apples, so to speak. A stock mutual fund, you'll see some that have very high turnover rates. And to me, that's not investing. That's trading. That's speculating. And what did we say about that in Chapter 1? Good luck. You know, I hope you do well, but it ain't easy. And it, of course, drags your return down because of all the trading costs that you have to deal with. Cool? Yeah. Okay, so now, let's take a look at the load, the sales commission, the sales charge. There are load funds and there are no load funds. A long, long time ago, there used to be only one type of fund, and that was a load fund. And then other companies said, well, we're going to bypass the middleman. Why? Because the load fund was essentially a sales commission to the financial representative, the broker, the stockbroker, the financial register representative, whatever you want to call us who are in the industry. It was typically 3 to 5%, some were higher. And then other companies said, you know what, we're going to go directly to the consumer. We're just going to bypass the middleman. And it didn't last very long because the brokers didn't like it that the companies were bypassing the middleman. So we're going to see that the industry did their best to allow there to be no load funds that were actually load funds and that the brokers could sell and still get a commission. And do you think it's going to be easy to understand this? No! There's a reason why, because we're doing our best to, well, I mean the industry, I apologize on behalf of the industry, is doing its best to make sure you don't understand how you're being charged. So we'll find that, we'll see that soon enough. And you'll hear the endless debate, should you purchase a load fund or a no load fund? Well, in my humble opinion, it comes down to one crucial question. Well, actually two, I guess, but one crucial question. Do you want somebody to help you? Do you want professional help? And if you want professional help, well, then you're going to have to pay for it. And buying load funds is one way. It's not the only way, as we'll see, but it's one way to pay for it. There are others. Do you want to go it alone? And well, certainly if you want to go it alone, unless you're absolutely convinced that the company you want that only has brokers, that only has load funds, is the company you're going to invest in, then yeah, sure, go with a no-load fund because you're the one doing the recommendation to yourself. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead, but we're going to see that later on, there have been some studies that have shown that people who do use financial advisors tend to have better overall results. And as we've said, it has a lot to do with emotions. Because if you have a financial advisor, you have somebody you can bounce your ideas off of. And if you're ready to bail because the market just lost 20-30%, your financial advisor is going to say, now, this, I call it my talk them off the ledge telephone call. We've been here before. History tells us that these are the best times to invest more, not the best times to sell. So there's that to discuss, but we'll do that later on. So let's take a look on slide 24 at the types of load funds. There are many, dear students, but they generally fall into four or five categories. Four categories of load funds and then the no load funds. And so these are the categories that I want you to memorize, internalize, realizing that there are others, but don't worry because they're all variations on a theme. The oldest fund shares were the Class A shares. Some companies call them Class 1. They use a front end. The commission is paid when the shares are purchased, and then they normally have lower annual operating expenses in perpetuity. You like that word, perpetuity? I love that word. You get to spit on your friends when you say it. The industry then introduced another class called Class B. Some people call them Class 2, but these are back-end loads. These are shares that a commission is paid when the shares are redeemed. And so people will say, well, what difference does it make? You know, what difference is it if you go with the A shares or the B shares? Well, it turns out that the B shares have what is called a contingent deferred sales charge, which is another great word. Say it, contingent. It feels good when you say it. It vibrates your lower throat, in my humble opinion, and it's like lumpia. You say lumpia. Lumpia tastes good, too. So it's contingent deferred sales charge. And what does that mean? Well, it goes down over the number of years. It starts at, say, 5% for the first year, and then 4, 3, 2, 1, and after 5 years, 6 years, 4 years, depending on the company, every company's different, you pay no back-end load. Cool? Well, why wouldn't you want to go with them, right? Mutual funds are a long-term investment, so you'd want that. Well, right. What they do is they have higher annual operating expenses, usually through the 12B1 fees, until the contingent deferred sales charge declines to zero, and then the Class B shares revert to Class A shares. So don't worry, folks. They're going to get you one way or the other, right? As we'll see. We'll see in more detail as we go along. And so, brokers are not stupid. They want to be able to offer their clients something that makes it look like they're not paying anything. So they came up with the Class C shares, the no load. The broker, no, not anymore. You got to call them load funds. And we'll see how. But these didn't have a front end, didn't have a back end. Well, you know, they had a typically 1% or almost 1% charge if you redeem the mutual fund within 1 year. But you don't want to do that, folks. Mutual funds, as we said in the previous presentation, they're not trading vehicles. They're long-term investments. But the Class C shares, like the Class B shares, have higher annual operating expenses. Again, sometimes in perpetuity or for 10 years, so they can wind up costing you more than the Class A or the Class B shares. The Securities and Exchange Commission now says you cannot have a mutual fund, you cannot call a mutual fund a no-load fund if the 12B1 fee is greater than 0.25%. Hang on a minute. We'll see an example. It'll make more sense now. So in other words, the Securities and Exchange Commission was not happy that brokers were calling these broker no-load funds, because they said you're sneaking the load in through the 12B1 fee and making the clients pay it over time, over 8, 10, 12 years. So Class C shares are not allowed to be called no-load funds, even though for some time, I don't think so much anymore. I really should take that out. I haven't heard anybody call them broker no-load funds in a long time, I guess, so should take that out of there. But in other words, this is what brokers thought of them as, broker no-load funds. Okay, great. So we got the ABC shares. How about the F shares? Now, these are definitely no-load funds. These are not load funds. Did the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, says that, yes, you can call these no-load funds. They're sometimes called Class F, Class I for investment advisor, Class FI for financial advisor, or sometimes just called advisor class. And they are held in what is called a wrap account, a management account, a wealth management account. We're not your brokers. No. We're your wealth managers. And so we don't charge an upfront fee. We don't charge a back-end fee. We don't charge those pesky 12B1 high fees. Oh, no. We just hit you with 1% or 2% every year to manage the account, even though they're not managing the account. That's the job of the mutual fund. In perpetuity. You have a feeling I don't really like these things? Well, you're going to see that these can wind up costing you far more than any of the first three, and they're the ones that the brokers are pushing the most now. Right. So I'm a little bit, iconoclastic. I'm a little bit on the outskirts of the industry, because most brokers, that's the way they charge their clients now, through these wrap accounts, through these management accounts. And we'll come back to this in the very end of the semester when we talk about brokerage firms. But I'm not happy with these things, but I'm in the minority. And then finally, we have what the financial media, the Securities Exchange Commission, the mutual fund industry doesn't call these that, but the financial media calls these true no-load funds. These are companies which typically deal directly with the public. Again, the Securities Exchange Commission says they may not have a 12B1 fee greater than 0.25%. That's 25 cents for every $100. These are the darlings of the popular media. Bypass the middleman. Who needs a financial advisor? Just watch us on the boob tube, us talking heads, and listen to us, and buy my book and take my... But that does not mean that the overall fees are low. Because if the no-load fund has high management fees and high other expenses, you could wind up costing you more than a load fund. You must look at all the fees and also look at how well they've done over time, right? Of course, well, we'll get back to that later on. Okay, so have you got those written down or scribbled into your brain? Because I'm going to ask you to remember them. Let's take a look at some these are real examples. That was a very real, as opposed to very imaginary. My apologies. Let's take a look at some examples. These are real mutual funds, and these schedules of fees come directly out of the prospectus that nobody reads, but you're going to, because there are examples on the website. The class website, and links to mutual fund companies where you can download their annual reports and look at the prospectuses. And, these prospectuses are really, really useful if you ever have insomnia. Right, just start reading the prospectus, and I guarantee you'll be soon fast asleep. Now, this is a very famous fund. It's called the AB. Large Cap Growth Fund, AB. Do you remember Alliance Mutual Funds from our previous presentation? Yeah, very good company, folks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to badmouth them, but I think they're brain damaged. They merged with a company called Bernstein, which is another good company. And so they called themselves Alliance Bernstein for many years, and now they just call themselves AB. Oh, well, but but they got a dynamite fund here called the Large Cap Growth Fund. And notice that this has these four classes that we discussed, the Class A shares, the Class B shares, which are no longer allowed to be purchased by investors. They've discontinued selling them. So if you have them, you get to keep them, but you can't buy them anymore. The Class C shares, and then what they call the advisor class. They used to call them Class F, like many other companies, but now they call them the advisor class. So let's take a look at Class A. What's the sales charge? Now, notice it puts the term maximum sales charge. We'll come back to that later. You can get the sales charge reduced if you invest more or if your account goes over a certain amount. But let's look at the maximum sales charge. You're putting $100 or $50 a month away. They're going to take 4.25%. So if you put $100 away, that's $4.25 that they're going to take out of your account. Most of that goes to your broker. And that's how he or she gets paid. But then, forever, they are going to charge you 53 cents every year in perpetuity to manage the fund. Now, it goes up and down, you know, depending on certain factors. But that's how much they charge you every year for the people in the top hats who go around and knock on the doors of the companies and decide which investments they want to invest in. There are the 12B1 fees, 0.25%, 25 cents, that goes to the distribution and servicing and maintenance of the fund. Again, that's something that's in the Investment Company Act that says you mutual funds, you got to tell people how you're charging them. If you're charging them for advertising, you have to show them that, you have to tell them that. And no other company, you know, I don't know if any other companies have to do that. And then the other expenses, the rent and the lights and the website and all the other accounting, 13 cents. So this mutual fund is going to charge you 91 cents for every $100 you have in your account. Now, some people say, well, will I see that? No, unless you go looking for it, no. What you're going to see is the average annual return. And that, the average annual return is displayed after these fees have come out. So don't think you look at, you get done 10%, then you're going to take this amount from. No, it doesn't work that way. The published rate of return that the mutual fund you're interested in has done is after all these fees have come out. Okay, so you go to your broker and you say, well, you know, Ms. Broker, I really don't want to pay that upfront fee. And what does your broker say? No problem. There's always no problem, dear students. For you, we had, we don't have them anymore, but we had the Class B shares. And that way, you had no upfront fee. But you may get a contingent deferred sales charge of up to 4%. So you say, wait a minute, Ms. Broker, what difference does it make if I pay it upfront or pay it back? Relax, sit down, booby. It's 4% the first year. If you take it out in 1 year, but you're not going to take it out in 1 year. It's a mutual fund. It's a long-term investment. It's 3% the second year. 2, 1, after 4 years, it's 0%. So you're going to hold on to this for the long term, right, Mr. and Mrs. John Q. Public Investor? Oh, yes, Ms. Broker, yes, we're long-term investors. So you're never going to get paid. You're never going to pay that contingent deferred sales charge. Okay, all right, okay, I'm feeling better about this. There's the management fees, 53 cents a dollar. What happened here? You see what they did? They snuck that commission into the 12B1 fee. Right, and that's where the Securities and Exchange Commission, maybe now it makes sense. They said you cannot call it a no-load fund if you've raised the 12B1 fee greater than 0.25% or 25 cents for every $100. The other expenses are a little higher, so this guy's going to charge you $1.70. And I think, I can't remember now, is it 6 years? They do that for 6 years, and then it reverts into the A share. So then after 6 years, they get their 4% and then some. And then it goes back to the A shares, and so then you get the lower annual operating expenses. So you go to your broker, I don't want the upfront fee, I don't want the back-end fee, I might be taking it out in 2 years. And so your broker says, no problem! For you, we have Class C shares. And there's a 1% deferred sales charge if you take the money out within a year, but you're not going to do that, and you shouldn't, really, folks. I mean, mutual funds are long-term investments. And so you're not going to get charged that contingent deferred sales charge, that deferred sales charge, but you will be charged the management fees, which are basically the same. And then there's that 12B1 fee, 1%, a dollar for every $100. 13 cents, so in this case the other expenses are lower than the B shares, but still $1.66. And I can't remember, I have to go back and look, but I think Alliance was 10 years, or was it 8, for the Class C shares. And then they revert to a lower class share. A lower fee share. Was it either the A or the advisor class? I can't remember. I have to go back and look. Now, the advisor class. For you, because you say you don't want upfront fees, you don't want back-end fees, you don't want high annual operating expenses, and I think I'm leaving now, Ms. Broker. No, sit down, relax. There's no problem. For you, we have the advisor class. They used to be called the Class F, but doesn't advisor sound better? Because I'm your wealth manager. I'm not your broker. No. No upfront fee, no back-end fee. The same management fees, well, those people are getting paid the same no matter what, and no 12B1 fees. Ooh, what a great feeling. I don't even know what 12B1 means. But other expenses, 13 cents, so 66 cents. The lowest of any of these share classes. How can you go wrong? Oh, by the way, we charge an extra 1 or 2% for the rest of your life. What was that, Ms. Broker? We charge an extra 1 or 2% wealth management fee on top of the 66 cents, so $1 to $2 forever in perpetuity. And this is what they're pushing these days, folks. In fact, I've had a few clients. I've tried to explain it to them that these companies are charging you, well, one wanted to charge you 2%. $2 for every $100. And when I explained it to her, she went back and said, because I was showing her the A shares, I think they're the best deal, especially in her situation because she wouldn't pay the maximum sales charge. She went back and they said, we'll lower it to 1%. Without, you know, batting an eyelash. And just say, oh, we'll lower it to 1%. And this was a situation where they were from her church. And so how do you compete with Jesus? But you got to be careful, folks. When it comes to religion and finance, you got to be really careful. You know, this is Caesar. This ain't rendering under God. No. This is rendering under Caesar. So I always, whenever I see somebody wrapping their financial investments in a cloak of religious, I get very, very worried. Yeah, I'm sure there's some examples, but I haven't seen any. So we won't name any names. Thrive at Financial. Anyway, slide number 20. So that was the Alliance, AB Large Cap Growth Fund, which is actually a very good fund, folks. And one of the things that they were experimenting with, I have to go back and check and see if they actually did it, but they were going to experiment because people are worried about high fees now when it comes to index funds. They were saying, look, if we don't do a good job for you, we'll knock down the fee schedule a tremendous amount to make it look like an index fund. But as soon as we do well, which they have, we're going to charge you what we believe we're worth. So now let's take a look at another example. This is a similar kind of fund. It's called the New Economy Fund. And again, like the AB Large Cap Fund, they have gotten rid of their B shares. If you have them, you get to keep them, but they no longer will sell them to you. Notice that their A shares are a little bit more expensive, the maximum sales charge. Yeah. But notice that their annual operating expenses are a little bit less than the AB Large Cap Growth Fund. So it kind of evens out, as we'll see. And so the management fees, 38 cents, distribution fees, 24 cents, other expenses, 16 cents, 78 cents for every $100 you have in the account. The Class B shares had an upfront, a maximum contingent deferred sales charge, a maximum back-end charge of 5%, 4, 3, 2, 1. After 6 years, it was zero. But there's the D12B1 fee, 1%. So the Class B shares will charge you $1.56 for 8 years, this company's 8 years, and then they revert to the A shares. The C shares are a little bit more expensive than the B shares. They have a 1% sales charge if you take the money out within a year, but you're not going to do that, folks. Don't think you're going to do that. After you've done your research on a mutual fund or somebody's recommended a mutual fund, give them time because they're long-term investments. But here we have the 38 cents that go to the management company. That is the dollar for the 12B1 fee, which is tacked on for 10 years. And then the other expenses, so $1.59, almost twice what the, or actually about twice what the A shares are charging you for 10 years. You get the feeling that the C shares are going to wind up costing you, the B shares are going to cost you more than the A shares. And then this company actually has three different financial advisor shares, but we picked financial advisor share class number 2, called F2, and no upfront fee, no back-end fee. 38 cents still go to the people who with the top hats who make the decisions. And then zero 12B1 fees. 18 cents for other expenses, so 56 cents. But don't forget the 1 or up to 2% fee that the broker is going to tack on to your account, the wealth management fee, the wrap account, the advisor fees. Yeah, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is another good fund, the New Economy Fund. So let's now take a look at an infamous fund. Used to be famous, but now it's infamous. But actually, a lot of people are just forgetting about it now. But this was called the Legg Mason Value Trust. They don't call it that anymore. They've changed the name to ClearBridge Value Trust. And why would they do that? Well, in the mutual fund industry, it's called burying the evidence. When a mutual fund does very poorly, often what they will do is they will change the name or they'll merge it into another mutual fund so that the memory, painful that it might be, of that mutual fund's bad performance is erased or hopefully erased. Well, I'm not going to let them erase this one. This was a real turnaround that hurt a lot of people. And I'm not happy about this, folks. I'm not trying to gleefully extol the pain that Legg Mason Value Trust did to their shareholders. I'm just trying to show you that this is what happens. This is what goes on in the industry. And you see, for decades, the Legg Mason Value Trust did not have these share classes. They only had one. They called it, well, actually, they had more than one, but they called it the primary class, the C shares. But after they got in trouble, they then said, okay, you know, we'll create a Class A, which is, then is a motivation for brokers to sell it because they make more money off of the Class A shares than they do off the Class C shares. And so they have a 5.75% upfront fee that goes down depending on how much money you have in the account. And then there's their management fee, 68 cents. There's the 12B1 fees, other expenses. So $1.05, so a little higher than the other two that we looked at. But as we said, the A shares were really never that popular to begin with. They didn't have them until just, 2010 or so. So here's the Class C shares. These are the primary shares. No upfront fee, almost 1%, 0.95% if you take it out within a year. But you don't do that, folks. Don't do that. If you're going to invest in a mutual fund, it should be long term. And then there's the 68 cents that goes to the people in the top hats. But there's that 12B1 fee, which is not quite a dollar, but close, 0.95%. And remember, they're not allowed to call it a no-load fund if the 12B1 fee is greater than 0.25%. the other expenses. So this was charging you $1.77, the most we've seen so far. Now, I'm cynical enough to take a look at that and say, look, the Securities Exchange Commission says you can't call it a no-load fund if the 12b1 fee is greater than 25 cents on the dollar, or 0.2, I'm sorry, on $100, isn't it? 0.25%. All you really need to do is lower this to 0.25% and move the fee up into the management fee, right? No, I'm sure there's all kinds of safeguards about doing that. I've never researched them, but I'm sure the Securities Exchange Commission would say, look, guys, that's not what we meant, okay? That's not, you know, it's not going to fly. We're not going to let you do that. This has to be paid to the management company. So, yeah. So you say to your broker, hey, I really don't want to deal with that. So they say, look, $1.14. FI, they call it, financial advisor shares. No upfront fee, no back-end fee, lower annual operating expenses. Not that low to begin with. But we're going to charge you an extra 1% or 2% every year for the rest of your life, or as long as you're with us. And so you look at these institutional shares and you say, you know what, this doesn't look too bad. No upfront fee, no back-end fee, no 12B1 fees, the same 68 cents that goes to the people in the top hats, and then the 13 cents, so at 80, why can't I have these institutional class, huh? Do I have to be institutionalized? No, we'll discuss that later on. So remember this guy, and we'll come back to this guy, this Legg Mason Value Trust, now called the Clearbridge Value Trust, in a bit. But first, on slide 30, let's take a look at something completely different. I'm an old Monty Python fan. And now for something completely different. This is an index fund. This is a very famous index fund. It's called the Vanguard 500 Index Fund. And just a couple weeks ago, the gentleman most closely associated with the Vanguard 500 Index Fund, Mr. John Bogle, passed away. And so I'll put a link. There'll be a link to his obituary. Actually, there were several in many different publications because he's being lionized for introducing index funds. And index funds work very differently than all the other funds that we looked at. They are passively managed. All the other funds were actively managed, which means that the people in the top hats went out and knocked on Ford and knocked on GM's door and knocked on Toyotas and Chryslers and Hondas and BMWs and said, we're going to buy Ford and Honda, we're not going to buy the rest. Whereas index funds are very different. They look at a list of stocks. In this case, the Standard & Poor's 500 Index, which we'll discuss in detail in Chapter 5 when we get to stocks. But really, folks, it's just a list of the 500 traditionally largest companies based in the United States. So these funds do no research. You or I could run this fund, assuming we can read the list of stocks that's there. And so notice that the management fees are much lower than all the other funds that we've seen. They better be, because they're not doing anything. So you see that they have a $20 fee if your account is less than $10,000, unless you enroll in electronic delivery. So they really reduce that 12B1 fee, and the other expenses are 2 cents. So they're charging you 14 cents on every $100 you have in the account. Pretty darn cool, right? Right. You're getting no research. So you better not be paying all that more. Be careful. Because what happens? In your 401k, the people in the three-piece suits will sneak a high-fee index fund into your 403b, your 401k, your employer-sponsored plan. Why do they do that? Because they can. Who would do that to their employees? Southwestern College. Now, when I would go up to our human resources department and scream and holler and say, these people are ripping us off, and I'd be in the meeting where that those two guys, they didn't actually wear three-piece suits. They were kind of schlumpy. They're giving their presentation, and we're looking at the new system, and I'm looking at, what the heck? What's going on here? Why do we have this Gartmore, or Galtmore, whatever it was called, high-fee index fund? They didn't realize, yo, boy, the ringer was out in the audience out there. They went, you're right. We're looking to get a different index fund. Yes, you're right. That's a high-fee index fund. We don't want that. We're getting a different one. Yeah, they did. They got one which was just as bad, but it was their own fund, Nationwide. You remember, you ever heard of Nationwide? On your backside. Folks, never trust an insurance company with your investments. Remember, I'm an insurance agent. Yeah. And so I would go to our human resources and complain, and they would kind of go, we don't know. We don't know who you're talking about, which is often the case. The folks in human resources, they're just doing their job. They don't know what's going on with these things. And so finally, one of the people up there took my class and said to me, you're right, Frank, they're ripping us off. I said, yes! And so then I started sending emails to the president and the vice president, and really, nobody ever really answered me. And then they finally changed the company, and so I guess they knew they were changing anyway. Okay, so index funds, low fees, that's what you'd expect. Slide 31, Fidelity 500 index fund, which has, by the way, they've changed the name a few times, not because it wasn't doing well, because they weren't, they didn't like that their marketing organization, Fidelity. And so why did Fidelity offer their own index funds? Well, Vanguard pioneered low-fee mutual funds and was able to overtake Fidelity as the number one mutual fund company. Fidelity was the number one mutual fund company for decades. Why, if you can't beat them, join them. Fidelity responded by eliminating all sales loads, creating their own index funds, and lowering their fees below Vanguard. In fact, a few of them now are free. Huh? That's called a loss leader for you business marketing folks. You get them in with something free or, you know, whatever, well, almost free, and then you sell them other things. Look. 0.015, 1.5 cents, no expenses, other expenses, and again, a low balance fee unless you sign up for electronic delivery. So 1.5 cents for a mutual fund. Remember, they're not doing any research, and that's how they're able to charge you so little. All they do is look at a list of 500 stocks. How low can you go? Limbo. So Fidelity, very good marketing. And they have great funds. Don't get me wrong. They have some very good funds, but they're more they're a very good marketing entity. Slide 32. So now when you go into the prospectuses, you will see these schedules of what are hypothetical costs on a $10,000 investment with a 5% return. Because they don't know what's going to do in the next 5-10 years, right? So I don't know why they use $10,000. How many people have $10,000 lying around the house? But what happens? When you have the A shares, you pay that upfront fee. So notice that the A shares cost you more after 1 year. Now, let's forget about the advisor class for now. The B and the C shares are much less. The 3 years, still, the B and the C shares are catching up, but they're still less than the A shares because you paid that upfront fee. But remember, the A shares have lower fees. After 5 years, they're all basically the same. They're within, you know, a couple tens of dollars of themselves. But then after 10 years, which one cost you the least? Right, the A shares. If you're in it for the long term, and I hope you are, and you want a financial advisor, the A shares typically not always, but you know, everything being equal, and they never are, the A shares are going to wind up costing you the least. Now, you say, wait a minute, Piano, look at the F shares. Look at the advisor shares, the FI shares. Don't they look like the best deal? Notice it says excludes advisor's fee. Typically, a fee is 1%. I've seen one person, one guy, I think he was 0.87%. But but typically it's 1%, upwards of 2%. That would add an additional $1,300, $2,600 to the total cost. So over the long term, which is the best deal? If you want a company, if you happen to want that company that has the these brokers, some companies, that's all they do. They go through brokers. They don't deal directly with the public. Then the A shares, in my humble opinion, are the best deal. By the way, guess which shares are the most popular with brokerage firms these days? Right, the F shares, the advisor shares. And I've gotten into very heated arguments with other brokers saying that I really don't think that these wrap accounts, these F shares, these financial advisor shares are in the best interest of the financial advisor. And one guy, he wasn't angry. He just looked at me and said, what are you worried about? You send them a bottle of wine on their birthday, send them a Christmas card, take them to the steakhouse. They're going to love you. And I thought, I didn't know how to answer that. I was like, but that's not in the best interest of the client. They're going to love you, Bobby. Relax. So here's the Legg Mason Value Trust, which shows us basically the same thing. The A shares start out costing us more, but then wind up costing us less than the C shares. The financial intermediary class, the advisor class, whatever you want to call it, they wind up costing us less until we tack on the financial advisor's fee, in which case they wind up costing us a whole lot more. But the institutional class is the best deal. But how do I get them? Well, are you a large pension fund? Are you a university endowment or a tax-exempt charity? And do you have at least $1 million to invest with us? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, let's again take a look at the index companies, index mutual funds, which have, look at that, folks. Look at that. $14, $179. But now Vanguard is getting rid of this class. They're reducing the fees to what they call their Admiral class, which it used to be that you had to have $100,000. Then they lowered that to $10,000 in 2010, and now, unless I read it incorrectly, they're lowering it again to $3,000. So if you have at least $3,000 to invest, you can get these Admiral class, which have, you know, 0.04 cents. It's just outrageously low, right? And do you remember we discussed the ETFs? We'll discuss them again, but they often have fees lower than the index funds. And as we said, but then you have to go through your broker. But of course, if you go through your broker and your broker happens to be Fidelity or happens to be Vanguard, then their ETFs are free for commissions, free of commissions. But it's not the same company. It's Fidelity Brokerage Services. But they got the same name. They're sister companies. As we said, just recently, Fidelity announced two index funds, or three, with zero annual fees. How do they make any money doing that? Well, they're getting you in the door, right? The loss leader, you marketing fans, you business students, and then they're going to sell you other stuff. And as we said, careful! Some 401k plans have high fee index funds. Why would they do that? And who would do that? Often the employer doesn't even know what's going on in the case of Southwestern College. And this is where you, dear students, are going to be so awesome. Why? Because when that broker with the three-piece suit driving up in the Porsche or whatever it is telling you how wonderful this plan is, and you say, wait a minute, how come we got this Nationwide or Wells Fargo or Galtmore or whoever index fund that charges, you know, 0.9%. I mean, why don't you get a Fidelity or Vanguard charging us 4 cents, not 0.04 cents instead of 91 cents on the dollar? You know what? They're going to turn beet red. They're going to be so angry at you, and they're going to go, hand. Well, this is the one that we have for you, and this is the one your employer thought would be good for you. That's when they should just walk away. They really should. And you know what? The chances are they're going to be from an insurance company, folks. It might be from a brokerage firm company, but the Let them sue me. I don't care. I don't care. I would love the publicity. Go ahead, sue me. I'm a broker. I'm an insurance agent. I've seen what you do to people. And then what's going to happen? All your coworkers are going to say, where did you, are a genius, where did you learn? Where are you going to tell them, right? You, I wash your back, you wash me back, my back. That's how it works, folks. Let's do business. Ah! Okay, no, really, I want you to look like a genius. You are going to be the investment guru for your friends and family and coworkers, and it's a very important and weighty responsibility. You can't let them down. No, you can't. Slide number 35. Here is what's called the breakpoint sales reduction schedule, or sometimes called sales charge reduction schedule. And in other words, we said with the new economy fund that the up and also the Legg Mason Value Trust, now called the ClearBridge Trust, the maximum sales charge was 5.75%, but that's only on the first 25,000. Once you hit 25,000, either investing, either purchasing, or accumulating, your account grows to 25,000, then all new purchases are at 5%. Once you hit 50,000, it goes to 4.5, 100,000, 3.5, 2.5, 2, 1.5, until finally, if your account hits a million or you invest over a million, you don't pay any sales charge. You think the industry wants very wealthy? Exactly. The industry loves wealthy people. Now, when I first heard this, I was totally incredulous. I was so angry. And so, who would do this to their clients? Some brokers fail to inform their clients of this feature. Instead, they would advise them to start another fund with another company. When they approached it, why would they do that? Well, because they could, because they probably understood or believed that the client didn't understand they were getting a sales charge breakpoint. And now if you do this, you can lose your license, fined, and you have to pay back the client. So I just could not believe that people would do this, but that's why I again apologize on behalf of my industry. Now, it's a small number of brokers who give us all a bad name. You notice there's a small number of professors that give us all the bad names too, you know. And there's a small number of doctors that give, and mechanics and firefighters. There's a jerk in every profession. There's people who aren't going to do what's best for the people they're serving. And it gives all of us a bad name. So you really need a good referral, do your research. When you're looking for a broker, as when you're looking for a doctor or a teacher or a plumber or whatever. So that was the new economy fund sales charge breakpoint schedule. Now the CDSC, contingent deferred sales charge reduction over time. And this is the B shares of the AB AllianceBernstein large cap growth fund on slide 36. Notice, after the first year, if you take your money out within the first year, they're going to charge you 4%. That's the back-end load, so think Class B, back-end. Year number 2, 3%. Year number 3, 2%. Year number 4, 4%. So after 4 years, you would not pay any back-end sales charge. Notice, and I think that's pretty straightforward. This type of reduction schedule is very typical with life insurance annuities. They call it a surrender charge schedule. However, instead of starting at 4% or 6% or 5%, they start at 25% or 20% and take 20, 25 years. Yeah, again, never trust an insurance company with your investments. Okay, so you now know everything that you need to know about fees on mutual funds. And I'm going to ask you, folks, I'm going to ask you on the exam, and I want you to know these, so you got to study. Now that you know that, I'm going to give you $10,000 10 years ago. This is as December 31st, 2018. So, January 1st, 2009. I'm going to give you 10 grand, just as we were in the middle of the worst financial disaster since the Great Depression, which would you charge? Which would you purchase? The Class A shares of the AB Large Cap Growth Fund or New Economy Fund, because we know the A shares give us the best deal. The primary class shares, which weren't called Class C yet, but they didn't have Class A, of the Legg Mason Value Trust, now called the Clearbridge Value Trust. Or would you go the abstemious route? You like that? Abstemious. That's a great word. It means cheap, right? Would you go the cheap route with no active management, passively managed funds, an index fund, the index 500 fund from Vanguard? Now, if you printed this out, you're not going to be able to see because it's been covered up. But as soon as I press the little magic button here, ta-da! Fees are important, dear student, but they certainly do not tell you the whole story. When comparing mutual funds, you must look at many attributes, not the least of which are the rates of return, preferably over long time periods. And certainly, what was unusual about the last 10 years? Right, we were in the depths of the Great Recession, so most everybody looked great. But notice, the Vanguard Index 500 did not quite do as well as the Standard & Poor's 500 Index. Well, that makes sense. The Standard & Poor's 500 Index, there's no fees. It's just a list of stocks. So it should do almost as well. And certainly now that Fidelity is not charging any fees on some of their index funds, it should do basically the same. It might be up or down a 0.01% or something like that, but it should basically the same. So $10,000 became, $33,870. Not bad. But look at these two actively managed funds that have done better than the Standard & Poor's 500 index. They would have turned 10,000 into almost 41,000 and a little over 37,000. And notice little asterisks here. Remember, we used the Class A shares. So these shares had an upfront fee. And they did this after the upfront fee. If you had gotten them at net asset value, at not paid the commission, then you would have gotten 15.63%, or almost 43,000, or 14.71%, or over 39,000. Pretty darn good, huh? Yeah. Don't let anybody tell you that nobody can beat the index. There are companies that over decades have beaten the indices. Now, there's not a whole lot of them, and that's why we need to do our research, in my humble opinion. But notice that here is an actively managed fund that really stunk up the joint, right? Instead of 30, well, it's not that bad, but it's not good. The S&P 500 index would have returned you 33,870, and these guys did barely 30,000. Now, why did I include, let's go back and discuss, why did we include that Legg Mason Value Trust? Because if you had looked at this a little over 10 years ago, everything would have been flipped. The Legg Mason Value Trust had destroyed the competition for 15 years in a row. And it was run by a gentleman by the name of Bill Miller, who's still around, by the way. He doesn't work for Legg Mason anymore. And we'll get back to Mr. Miller when we start looking at stocks, when we get into stocks. But he had just destroyed everybody. And so the numbers were all reversed. In fact, they were just astounding how well the Legg Mason Value Trust did. And people would ask me, well, do you invest with him? I said, no, why not? I said, well, because he's very concentrated. A mutual fund, typically, a stock mutual fund will have 100, 200 stocks, 150 stocks. He would have 40 or 45. And, you know, that works great, that lack of diversification, if your choices do well. But then some of his choices did really poorly. And so he stunk up the joint for a few years until he finally let him go in 2012. So an index fund is going to charge you, should charge you low fees, and should basically, do a little bit less than the index. Whereas actively managed funds might do a whole lot better, they might do the same, or they might do a whole lot worse. You with me? So look at fees, they're important. And it turns out there's been studies that have shown that companies that have lower fees mutual funds tend to be in the category of companies that have beaten their indexes over time. So there's two other features that are a part of it. They tend to hold on to their stocks longer than most other mutual fund companies. They tend to concentrate on the downside, not only worried about what can go right, but also what can go wrong. And one of the most important features are managers who eat their own cooking, so to speak. They invest in their own funds. If the manager has a lot of money, of their own money in the fund, that's a big motivating factor to do well, isn't it? Yes, it is, dear students. So watch for those three, four characteristics. Lower fees, they tend to hold their stocks long and look for the downside, and then have their own money in the mutual funds. So now it's time for checking for comprehension. In the face-to-face class, we have these ABC shares. The ABCD cards. And at San Diego State, you press a button and it shows up on the screen how many people picked A, B, C, or D. So these shares do not have an upfront fee, sales charge. Instead, they assess a decreasing back-end load if you withdraw your money within 6 years. The annual operating expense is higher, courtesy of the 12B1 fees. Who are they? Back end, right, B. And as we said, they normally eventually become A shares 6 to 8 years, and then you get the lower annual operating expenses. These shares do not have an upfront fee and only a 1% back end fee if redeemed within 1 year. The advisor called them no load, but you notice that the annual operating expense is higher than any of the other share classes. Again, courtesy of the ubiquitous, there's another good word for you, ubiquitous 12B1 fees. That means everywhere. A, B, C, or F or I, right, these are the C shares that sometimes revert to A shares or F shares after 10 years or so, and then you get the lower annual operating expenses. And then lastly, your financial advisor tells you that these shares have no sales fee, very low annual operating expenses. She mumbles something about wealth management. These shares are the A, B, C, or you know what these are, the F, the I, the advisor shares. She also did her best not to explain to you that her brokerage firm will charge you an extra 1 or 2% each year. But she'll take you to the steakhouse and send you a bottle of wine on your birthday, and that'll make it all worthwhile. And as we mentioned, there are dozens of other share classes depending on which mutual fund company you go with. But don't worry, they're all variations on the four main themes that we learned today. Upfront fee, back-end fee, broker fee throughout the 5-10 years, the C shares, and then the F shares where they charge you a wealth management fee. Cool? Now, dear students, I am dead serious. I want you to study these because we're going to ask you on the exam. But more importantly, as we said, you are now the expert for your friends and family and coworkers, and you can't let them down. So go listen to this again. Watch it again. Write them down. Make notes. Study, 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 and be awesome. Because we're going to do an equally more difficult task in the next presentation when we try to get our arms around the different types of mutual funds. So bring honor and glory to Southwestern College and be awesome, dear students. We are so